Good evening. We're going to speak about a few different topics today, as usual. I don't like to limit the lecture for one topic only, because in case you know about it, you don't feel bored for the next hour. I asked before the lecture what topics to talk about, so the request that I heard is about anxiety. People have anxiety, they don't know how to deal with that. Also, some Lashon Hara issues. Also, teenagers who doesn't keep Shabbat behind their parents' back. They pretend they are, but they go and do all kinds of things behind their back, forgetting that Hashem is really the one that they should be worried about, more than their parents. And also, those who already got married, women who gets married, how to work on respecting the husband, even though he's not an angel always. You know, so obviously to respect the husband is one of the challenges that women has today. The husband has the same challenge as well. But since we speak to ladies here, so we have to focus on what the ladies have to learn. So we should start with the anxiety and then we move on to the other topics. We all should know that in today's generation there's all kinds of attacks, panic attack, anxiety attack, depressions, all kinds of things like that. The question is, what's the source of all these issues? Where does it come from? Where all of a sudden a young person, 16, 17, girl, she begin to have anxiety or depression or panic attacks? Short breath, breathing problems, vibrations, you know, anxiety. This is the right word. Where does it come from? What is the cause of it? How do you handle such thing? Is this something that existed in previous generations, or it's something that is relatively new? Because for instance, when I was a kid, I don't remember ever hearing the word anxiety attack or panic attack. I know that in Hebrew you call it etkef harada. The person has fear. All of a sudden he's under tremendous fear. Some people, their mental issues develop over the years and then it becomes schizophrenia, which is much, much, much worse. Then it's very hard to cure it. You need heavy medication and sometimes to be hospitalized. If a person doesn't take care of his mental issues, the chance that they'll go away by itself is not so high. Usually it only becomes worse. Especially if this person grow up and he doesn't get married, doesn't have anyone to share his life with, no support, no nothing. And then when he gets to his 40s and then to the 50s, it's starting to become a craziness. Person begin to lose his mind. And then begin to talk to himself and to hallucinate and to have all kinds of weird behaving, strange behaving. We don't want to be in that categories. We don't want to fall into any one of these categories. But anxiety is a very common thing today. One of the reasons that this exists, because people do not have emunah in Hashem. They don't have emunah. They call themselves religious, but it's all fake. They're not really religious. I always give an example, the ladies, sometimes you see them covering their hair, supposedly fanatic religious, but when they get dressed, they're not modest, the clothes are tight, you talk to them hundreds of times, it's like talking to the wall, they walk on the street, mamash, in a very parutz levush, completely not modest. And so you can see already that they don't have fear from Hashem, And you cannot say that they never learned the laws of modesty, because I'm sure they heard it at least 50 times in the lectures over the years from the speakers when they speak about the law of modesty, but they're still not modest. So sometimes you wonder to yourself, what is the point of giving lectures if only 1% of the people are changing? Maybe it's better not to waste the time. Let the world disappear, let the world go to total destruction, and then give up. That's it, surrender. Give up. Then comes the words of the Rambam and give you a smack on your face. No, Even if you say one person from 10,000 fools, and the 10,000 goes far, and they do nothing, and they complain, and they bark, and it's not so pleasant, for the one, it's worth it for Hashem to do the entire thing for the one. Because the value of one soul, one Jewish soul, the value of one Jewish soul that will go into the right path is tremendous. Words can't describe such thing. So for the one, 1%, one out of 10,000, it's not even a tenth of a percent. It's a fraction. It's a little crumb from the cookie. Big cake, a tiny crumb fell on the floor. Nobody even paid attention to it. That's one out of 10,000. The Rambam writes clearly. 10,000 will go to the opposite direction. And the one will go on the right track, that's already worth it for Hashem. Therefore, whatever you get extra, more than one, then obviously it's a major success. But you know how it is. It's easy to talk, but when you see you talk to 10,000 people, and in the end only 1% of them become the right way, you don't feel success. Yeah, it's obviously you're saving souls, and a doctor that took care of 10,000 patients in a war, and he only saved 100, it's still a great achievement. He saved 100 lives. But then you wonder, okay, but what about the other 9,900 lives who went to the garbage? They all died. But the 100 he saved. No, it's 100. After all, he can't take it away. 100 lives he saved. So the idea here is like this. The idea is that when you come to a lecture, or when you listen to a CD, or when you go to school and you learn, you have to materialize what you learn into actions. It's not enough just to listen to Torah. You come to a Torah lecture, the speaker explains the law of modesty. Tomorrow morning, that's it. You cannot go back to what you were until now. From now on, you have to start making changes. Lecture, we're not giving for general knowledge. Math, history, all kinds of politics, that could be general knowledge. Who cares? You know, you don't know, it doesn't affect life. But when it comes to religion, a way of life, you listen to somebody who tells you what's the right way, you have to accept while you hear it. That's it. Enough with the nonsense. Until I'm going back now home, I'm going to change, I'm going to get rid of things that are not modest, I'm going to buy myself some more modest things, not too tight, not too short. I'm going to work on the makeup, not to have too much makeup. I'll put my hair together when I'm single. I cover my hair fully when I'm married. It's important. These things are life and death. It's life in it of eternity. It's not a joke. But we didn't come here to speak about modesty. I brought it by the way. First lecture here, we spoke a lot about modesty, and half of the girls ran away. They don't want to come hear the truth. It was enough for them one time. All their life, they never heard the truth like they heard here in 1 hour. That's why it's too much for them. Why? They think that if they run away from the truth, that the situation by them will ever change. No, your situation is never going to be changed. You either follow the rules or you don't follow the rules. You don't follow the rules, you pay the price. You pay the price. Do you know today what was published in Israel, in a newspaper in Israel? Do you know? 2014, from 2014 to 2015, we are only in the middle of 2015. There is an increase of 44% in the cancer cases in Israel. 44% increase in 1 year. Do you understand what it means? If it stays like this in 20 years, everyone will have cancer. Everyone. God forbid. And people don't open their eyes. Everyone is looking for cellular phone, electric, the food, changing the food, the genetics of the food, the water, all kinds of... What are you looking for? Symptoms. What is the reason that Hashem decide that so many people would chas v'shalom become sick? That's what you have to worry about. Not what caused it. What caused it is the messenger of Hashem. If the cell phone caused it, so Hashem chose the cell phone to do it. If it's an electric wire, so Hashem chose the electric wire to do it. If he didn't want, it would be something else. Hashem chose what will do his job, unfortunately. But we don't have to worry how we get it. We have to worry why we get it, that we can fix it, that we shouldn't get it. That's what people don't get. Everyone is busy with this. The same story with the Jews and the Arabs. Every other Israeli, these Arabs, enough, we can take it, they're so cruel. When are they going to stop killing us? It's enough, what do they want from us? Arabs. Arabs is the stick in the hand of Hashem. It wouldn't be Arabs, it would be Chinese, what? Wouldn't be Chinese, it would be Japanese. If Hashem wants, Americans also can do the same thing. Ma, here you go, Obama is an example, how everything can change, you know, within years. The idea is, Hashem has many shlichim, many messengers. He can do it through him, he can do it through her, he can do it through all, so many different ways. How we get it, it's not so important. It's why we get it. It's like a horse, when you ride on a horse, David HaMelech writes, Al tiye kasus kapered. Don't be like a horse and a mule. Why? When you ride on a horse, when you hit the horse, right, you have a stick, you want him to run faster, so you hit him. So he begins to run faster. The question is, why the horse runs faster? How does he know that you want him to run faster? Maybe you want him to stop, that's why you hit him. When you hit him now, how does he know to run faster? Maybe you want him to stop running, that's why you're hitting him. How does he know? All horses run faster when you hit them. The answer is, the mind of a horse is a horse, it's not a human being. He thinks, ah, pain, I'm trying to run away from the pain. So you hit him again, he thinks, oh, I still did not run away from the pain, let me run even faster. He doesn't get the point that you're sitting on his back. He cannot avoid the suffering. This is how people behave. They think they can avoid the suffering from here, they can avoid it from there, we're gonna eat this, we're gonna eat healthy, we're gonna run, we'll go to the gym, we're gonna try this, we're gonna go. A lot of interesting ideas. But the bottom line is that in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem decided that 44% more people would be sick this year. And the question that we have to ask, why? Obviously, it can be many different reasons. It can be Shabbat, it can be Tzni'ut, it can be the way people talk against the rabbis in Israel. It can be so many things. Who knows? Only Hashem knows. The fact that it can be 1,000 different things, that's already very sad. In previous generations, when something like this happened, you know it's this. Because there was not that many. It's idol worshipping. That's it. That's what it is. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's this incident. There was not that many to choose from. But today, you don't really know what it is. Maybe it's modesty. Maybe it's the way people talk. Maybe it's the way the people treat their parents. Maybe it's Shabbat that most people don't keep. Maybe it's the stealing. Maybe it's the lack of faith. Who knows why? It could be so many things. When you see how the world is, it's really, really scary. The divorce rates is keep increasing. We are not far from the day that maybe we will come to a conclusion that since we cannot correct ourselves and there's really almost no improvement, what's the point of getting married? If everyone gets married and gets divorced, what's the point of getting married? What is good? To get married, so in order for you to get divorced, in a bitter divorce, better off never to be married. A lot of the people who got married and a year later they went to court and fight for the kids, or 5 years later, and fight for money, and lawyers, and aggravation, and no sleeping for months, and parents became involved with the fight, and half of the community is now Lashon Hara. These people would say, if I knew it's gonna be like this, I'll never agree to be married. I'd rather be single all my life. But if it happens one to 1,000 couples, it's worth it to get married, no? So, 0.1%, they cannot have 100% success. But if it becomes that 90% of the people would have this issue, what is my odds? 1 out of 10? Who's telling me that I'm going to be the one? The answer is, if you're not willing to change your personality issues, to work on your character, it's very foolish to get married. Very foolish. You cannot manage with yourself. You want to manage with another partner that lives with you in the same room? The excitement and the love and the romance and all these words, bombastic words, that people are brainwashed in the movies and they think that life is a, you know, paradise and honeymoon. This usually goes after 6 to 12 months, sometimes after 12 days. But 6 to 12 months, the excitement wears off. Now you're dealing with reality now. Understand? Don't get me wrong. You still have spiritual love if it's the right soulmate. But the excitement of something new, just like everything else in a materialistic world, goes away after a few months. Now you are stuck with a situation that you were not prepared for. Because you never worked on your midot, you're not mature enough, you don't know how to handle crisis, you don't know how to handle bills, you don't know how to argue, you don't know how to accept abuse from your husband. All these nice words that he gives you before you get married, and right away you're in shock. How did he change so bad? Wow, before the marriage it was such beautiful words, all of them think they live in a paradise, and as soon as the wedding comes, boom, 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 everything begins. The war begins. And I wonder, she wonder, Rabbi, it wasn't like this before the wedding. Of course it wasn't. You lived in a sin. You spoke words you're not supposed to. You made sins by looking at each other, sometimes touching, sometimes even worse than that. The Satan is celebrating. Of course he makes harmony between you. The more you sin, the more he's happy. As soon as it becomes legal, their problems arrive. Satan doesn't make peace anymore. He went away. Now he does the opposite. Now when it became legal, now you can look at her, now you can touch your wife, now it becomes legal. Now the Satan is not already a peacemaker, he's a war maker. He changes color. When it's a sin, you're not supposed to be together and look at each other and touch each other, etc. The Satan is a peacemaker. Why? The more you're together, the more sins you do. That's his job, to make you commit sins. As soon as it became legal, areat mekudeshetli, you became mekudeshet, the Satan not only doesn't make peace, from this moment on, he begins to instigate. Look at her mother, look what her father told you, look what kind of a brother she has, you want them in your house, you want this, and all of a sudden, the war begins. And everyone fights, and everyone, you know, and this is what's going on here. So that's one thing. Now going back to what we started with, why so many people have anxiety attack or panic attack? Why they're so scared? Why before a person has a test 3 days he cannot sleep at night? Why people lose proportion in life? Why a person doesn't think, wait a minute, what's the worst can happen? So I failed the test. It's not life risk. I'm not going to lay in a hospital for 1 year if I fail the test. Worst comes to worst, I'll do the test again. Worse comes to worse, I won't be the best student. Why to lose proportion from the things that people should really fear, they're not afraid. For the things that they should not be afraid, they're afraid so much that they become frozen. They can't function. So the answer to this is, there is no way to get rid of your anxiety. There's no way to get rid of your panic attack and fear. And all these things that bothers you, unless if you work on your personality and connection to Hashem. If your connection to Hashem is very good, then it's no problem. Baruch Hashem, you begin to feel the presence of Hashem in your life. When your life is with Hashem together, then all these attacks goes away. Why? You have connection. Your soul is connected to where it's anxious to be connected to. But if your soul is not connected to Hashem, all these problems begin. The soul is sick. The soul, what do we say in Shir HaShirim? Ki cholat ahava ani. It's a madly in love with who? With Hashem. Madly in love with Hashem. Just like a couple that they love each other very much and you put them in jail. Each one of them in jail, they cannot see each other, they cannot talk to each other, they go crazy. They don't care about the jail. You can put us in jail, but together. They don't worry, they're not worried about the condition now in jail. What are they worry about? They worry about that he doesn't see the one he loves. So if a person is in love with Hashem, his soul, the soul must be connected to Hashem. If a person's soul is not connected to Hashem, the Torah calls that person dead. The Torah says, if you start keeping my mitzvot and learn my Torah, you will be alive. Meaning, when you don't do it, you are considered dead. And then when you're dead, then your modesty level drop, then the way you speak, the level of your speech drop, then your faith drop, then your Shabbat is dropping. When your parents go to sleep, you begin to make violation on Shabbat. Why is all this? Because you don't have connection to Hashem. This is what you have to focus on. How do I get connected to Hashem all the time? Not on and off, all the time. Non-stop. Even when I have a drop, I'm still fully connected to Hashem. Maybe I drop 5%. But not like what's going on today. You can be very religious. All of a sudden, vacation from school, no Torah learning. You change atmosphere. Whoop, 1 month, no connection to Hashem. Zero. Zero. So let's organize what I'm saying. Anxiety attack and panic attack and fear, it's a result of lack of emunah in Hashem. You don't have emunah in Hashem, you will always suffer. You will suffer in parnasa, you will suffer in your suffering, you will suffer with your marriage, would you suffer with raising kids, you would suffer with everything in life. Every person who pick on you, every person who hurt you, everything that happens destroyed you mentally. Why? Because you're very fragile, you're very spoiled, and you don't have connection to Hashem, you don't have emunah. So how are you going to deal the challenges? In the previous generation, people were not spoiled. They grew up in physical, be their reality. Since you're a little child, you have to take care of the donkeys and the cows and the chicken and in the farm, and helping your parents collecting the wheat and the barley and the donkey and bring water from the well and do laundry by the river. Life was, compared to today, a nightmare. Even a normal bathroom you didn't have. If you wanted to go to the bathroom, you had to pray to Hashem that a snake won't come in the middle of the night somewhere. Life was very difficult. Since life was difficult, people were able to handle challenges because they grew up in such a way. But today, Baruch Hashem, we have to say Baruch Hashem for everything, even though in this case it's not a good thing. Most of the Jewish kids grow up in wealthy homes, especially in America. Even if compared to the rest of the community, they are poor, compared to the average American, they're wealthy. So the Jewish kids in America, and I've seen them on a trip when I was now in Israel, I saw maybe over 100 of them. I see how they are. I see how they behave. I see how they talk. I see exactly where they're coming from, these kids. This is really what destroyed these kids. The way they were brought up, the way they were raised. Everything they wanted, they must get. As soon as they want something, if the father doesn't want to give, the mother, the lawyer, runs right away to take care of business, that she must get it, come on. All her class has it. But why do I have to pay $200 for shoes if she can buy one for $40? No, what are you talking about? You don't know the style. Nobody dressed like this anymore. You always hear the speeches, which are very stupid, and they redesign life. The Torah doesn't care. Nobody cares about the Torah. Nobody cares that the Torah say, be down to earth. I don't like flashy people. I don't like all the show off. Hashem said, I don't like it. But the wives want it, and the girls want it. And it has to be this boots, and it has to be this watch. And if it's not going to be this name, she doesn't want it. But this is much prettier. No, you don't understand. All my class has this. It's all a competition. Where is the religion here? Between you and me, let's be honest, where is the religion here? Can we call ourselves religious with this kind of behaving? What girl, what teenage girl can call herself religious and a servant of Hashem that she every day of her life cheating her parents? Everything she does is the opposite of what the Torah says. She disrespects them, she doesn't listen to her father, When the father gives her instruction, she already doesn't listen to him because in her mind she thinks my father is primitive. I am American, high society, high class. I know everything. We are the smartest people in the world. Our parents, you know, they came from Bukhara, from Iran, from Israel, I don't know where. They're not up to date. It's the old generation. They don't know. We know better. The truth is the opposite. They know much better than you. You just brainwash here in this country that you think you're the best. You're not. In case you think you are the best, I give you an example. The Russians are much smarter than American in academic. Much better in science, in math, in everything. They're much better scientists. Israelis better than both of them combined. When I was in the Air Force, all the American airplanes that used to come, F-16, we used to take all the equipments out and put instead Israeli ones. Even though it's American, the whole world wants American. We took out their technology and put a much better technology, homemade. We only use the plane, the general thing. But all the systems, all the computer, I myself used to do it. I don't even know what I was putting in. All I know is they gave me instruction, you see? Take the plug out, the wires, massive wire. Take it out, take this instead, connect it, tell the plug in, don't ask questions. Why? Whole different thing. This is how it was. So what do you think you're the best? Just because you grew up here in America? Think again, you're not the best. These countries are much better than this country when it comes to thinking and it comes to behaving. That's number one. Number two, even if this country was the greatest, and even if the education here was the greatest, and whatever you want to say, who gave you permission to disrespect your parents? If your parents tell you no, no, it's no. Yes is yes, no is no. You're not happy with the no? Beg. You can beg, no problem. Abba, mommy, please help me, I want it. Please think about it again. But if they say no, no, it's no. Accept the order. What is this? Oh, no? Go behind their back. Today, we have kids that are even worse. Not only they go behind the back, the way they do it is they put mental pressure on the parents. First, they make them feel guilty. And the parents walk all day depressed because of them. They give their life for them, and all they get in return is a sword into the heart. Day after day, night after night. No matter what you do for them, it's never enough. Never enough. No matter how much money you give them, it's never enough. No matter what car you buy them, it will never be enough. No matter how many times you say yes, the one time you say no, you're the worst father, you're the worst mother, I don't want to live here, I can't wait to get out of here. Words are worse than murder. You don't know it? Words can kill faster than a gun. Gun, you don't feel the pain. Psh, second, and it's over. Words can go 10, 20 years in a heart. It's a fire that never ends. But they spoiled. You see, the parents cooked that problem for themselves. They brought them up in such a spoiled environment, and now they're paying the price. The one thing I can say to the favor of the parents is that in this country, even if you want to bring your kids up in the right way, it's impossible. The system, the schools, the environment, the Jewish communities, it chokes you from all over. You want to raise your children in a simple way, like the old-fashioned way, no one would let you. You can't. In school, it's the pressure from the school. You finally decide that your daughter will not go overseas. She's going to stay in the house because you want to watch what she does. You get a call from the school. Mr. Cohen, yes, it's the principal from the school of your daughter. Hello, how are you? It came to our attention that you have no plan to send your daughter to Israel this year. We want you to come to school that we can discuss this. And the pressure, how are you going to do it to her? All her friends are going. It's only now, soon she's going to be married. She will always she'll never forget it. She will hold it against you. The poor father, surrender. These people will not come 2 years later when the girl went off the derech, because she went and she didn't have anybody to supervise her, they're not going to come and say, we made a mistake. How are we going to make it up to you? They disappear usually. You understand? There's a story that I read today. This just reminded me this. It says like this, that there was in the yeshiva of Hebron, in Eretz Israel, before Israel became a state, so they were very poor over there. They didn't have money, they didn't know what to do, so they decided to send one person to America to collect. So the story was told by Rav Shalom Shvadron, was a very, very, very good, strong speaker in a previous generation. And he said that they sent Rabbi Wallach to Chicago, and he gave a nice speech, and he said about the poverty, he spoke about the poverty of all the students of the yeshiva of Hebron, which was a very serious yeshiva. It exists until today, this yeshiva. We're talking, 80 years ago, this story. And it says that it's so important to support Eretz Israel because over there there's no Parnassa with all the Arabs around. There was one rich man, his name was Ravi Rachmiel Kessler. He decided to give him a big check for the yeshiva, and he said, I want to really come and meet the yeshiva in person. It wasn't like today, that you have airplanes, so easy, you know, everything was much harder than, you know. So he says, when he came to Israel, he came with his son was 16 years old, and he asked them, what do you think? You think it's going to be good for my son to stay in yeshiva here? So Rabbi Wallach, the one who made him come to Israel, said, yeah, leave your son here, it's great. There's few American other kids here. So the boy stayed in yeshiva, and then the Arabs made the massacre in Shnat Tarpat. You know, that was the famous massacre that killed so many Jews there in Hebron. And the 16 years old boy got murdered by the Arabs. So the son of Yerachmiel Wexler. So this Rabbi Wallach, after that, he couldn't show his face in Chicago. How is he going to go again to collect money there? He's going to have to see the parents of this boy when he's the one who convinced them to send him to yeshiva in Hebron, and that's what happened. So he didn't show his face. So after a while, one day they met somewhere else, in New York or somewhere on the street. Now what are you going to do? That's it, you're stuck now. So he said to him, the father of the boy, Rachmiel Wexler, he said to him, how come we never see you anymore in Chicago? He told him, do you want to know the truth? I can't show my face there. He said, why? He said, I'm the one who gave you the advice to send your son to yeshiva, and right after that he got killed after a few months. How can I show my face? Maybe you hold it against me in your heart. So he told him, are you crazy? The opposite. We couldn't stop blessing you. That our son went up to Shamayim holy while he was learning Torah from morning to night in such holiness and poverty, and he died on Kiddush Hashem. Couldn't be a better death when all his other friends who stay in Chicago, one by one, they all went off the derech. They all went and became Hashem Yirachem. At least our son went to heaven. What would happen if he stayed in Chicago? Who would know where he would be? But that was a clever Jew. He knew better to live short life here and go to heaven than to live long life here and go to Gehenom. Most people don't get it, but the father knew. But what I'm saying to you is like this. People don't have a sense of appreciation. No matter what you do to them, they still think you owe them and you're not doing enough. In that case, what's the point of doing? If nobody appreciates anything, and no matter what you do, it's never good, let them feel 1 week or two how their life would be when they get nothing. I don't owe you anything. I need money for this. It's not my problem. I need this. I need a ride. It's not my problem. Walk an hour in the heat. walk in the rain, feel it, 2-3 weeks, feel it. What, how is life without servants? Your mother drives you, pick you up, give you this, cook for you, do your laundry. 1 or 2 weeks you really appreciate very much after that, everything your parents does for you. But if you still don't appreciate, we have a separate issue here. You're ungrateful. You have to work on your selfishness and ungratefulness. But now there's another issue here. There are people here, when they're young, they actually force themselves in dirty tricks. What can be dirty? If you don't let me do this, I'll kill myself. I run out of home. You one day come and I won't be here. How is the parent supposed to react to such a thing? Should he surrender to them or no? What do you think? If the son comes to his father and say, if you're not going to give me this and this and that, one day you come here, I won't be here. Then after that, don't blame me for what can happen. Should he surrender to him or no? If he surrendered to him, it's like the Palestinian. First mistake the Israeli did, 1,000 other requests came. As soon as you let them take one, that's it. They're inside already. They're never going to give up. You one time show them you're afraid of the threats, you're done. They'll control your life. What do? You can do whatever you want. You're not going to achieve anything with threats. You want to kill yourself? Go ahead, kill yourself. If that's what you think that's going to solve your problem, go kill yourself. At least we know we're not guilty. We raise you in the right way of the Torah. You want to kill yourself? We clean. You're going to be. Someone who kills himself is being judged as a murderer. Hashem judged him as a murderer. Why? You're not allowed to kill yourself. You kill yourself, you are exactly like you kill someone else. Same punishment. Same sentence in Gehenom of a murderer. So what did you achieve? You lost your whole life that could have been beautiful. You lost the potential to make mitzvot, and now you've been judged as a murderer. I have to worry about it? You want to kill yourself? Go ahead. It's not my problem. And what happened if they did? Sometimes the ego. Oh, yeah? You're not afraid? They'll do it just to win the argument. I know stupid people that will do it. How is the parent supposed to feel after that? How is he supposed to feel? He's supposed to feel guilty? Not at all. In Judaism, the Torah teaches you to think with your head, not with your heart. If you only think with your heart, you will be a loser. You will always lose. You have to use your head. Of course, whatever I tell you now, it's not halakha. You have situations like this, right away you must call your rabbi. It's an emergency, I agree. If you have a stupid kid that threaten you that I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to hurt myself, or I'm going to burn this, or I'm going to do, you know, what, I'm going to run away, you have to ask the rabbi what to do. Maybe sometimes the rabbi will tell you, bring him to me, and he will talk some sense into him. Right? Okay, if that will be the case, fine. The general rule is you cannot surrender. Same thing the babies. If the baby was born and he begins to scream in bed every night, if you fall into that trap, you will suffer for the next 2 years, every night. Every time you scream, you go to him, you're done. All day you're going to have to spend time, it has to be on your, you know, on your arms. Everything he wants, he begins to scream, you know, you run like a puppet. Yes, what can I do for you, Mr. Junior? 2 months old, what can I do for you? No, don't cry. Well, he runs the show in the house already. You don't give him something. But then one time you let him scream for an hour, second time, third time, he gets the point. Doesn't get me anywhere. You surrender once or twice, you're done. Same thing, you give your baby to taste Coca-Cola, you're done. He won't nurse anymore. After he tastes the sugar, you're done. Certain things, mistakes, you do it, there's no return. You got them spoiled. Now they know every time they scream, you pick them up and give them attention, you're done. You become their servant for the next 2 years nonstop. If you let them scream a little bit, of course, you have to check. Maybe sometimes they're sick. You have to check. Sometimes they cry for a reason. Most of the time it's attention. He's bored in bed. You can't blame him. He looks at the ceiling like this for hours. You know, how long he can see these toys and the music? He's tired of it. He wants some action. You understand? But the general rule is, kids don't control their parents. Parents control their kids. That's the way Hashem made the world. Who is your boss? Your father and your mother. You understand? The boss of the family is the father. Who is the vice president? The mother. The father is away, the vice president becomes the president. Just like in America. Right? If Obama will go and never come back, who becomes the president? The other one, Biden, he becomes the president. The father is away, the mother is in control. That's the way it is. It cannot be that the kids are in control. They run the show. So we conclude one thing: anxiety, panic attacks, all these things comes, you don't have connection to Hashem. Someone with connection to Hashem never gets sad, never gets depressed, never live in fear, never worry too much, never shake, never goes crazy from who knows what's going to happen, never panic from every stupid thing. It only happens when you don't have connection to Hashem. To do mitzvot like a robot, every Arab can. Every Christian can. You don't need to be a Jew to keep mitzvot. To keep mitzvot, you can train a monkey to keep mitzvot. You know the monkeys, how they train them in a circus? They do much harder things than putting tefillin on. They teach them in a circus. You see how many things they do? They jump here, they go reverse, they flip, they jump over here. He goes like this, he knows what to do. How does he do it? Years of training. We are not robots. We need connection to Hashem. One Israeli company, they order a big machine, electrical machine, manufacturing machine with computer. And after they shipped it from Japan, they put it together according to the instructions. And after all, it's not working. They call Japan, we don't know what's going on. They call Japan, there's nothing we can do. They say, do this, no. This, do that, it doesn't work. Do this, do this. Nothing is working. Nothing is working. So what happened? After 1 week, they try to get the machine to work. The Japanese people say, we have no idea. We tested the machine before it went on a boat. You're going to have to send us back. And we have to wait 3 months until we make you a new machine. They say, what? You know how much business we're going to lose? We cannot afford this. Better you send a guy from Japan to see what we didn't do right. So when the technician came, he checked around. He said, wait a minute. He went around. He saw that the big cable was never connected to the wall. Everything was perfect. They did not connect it to the electric. That was the problem. He connected it. The machine started to work. Why did I tell you this story? Sometimes a person, everything in his life looks fine. Dress modest, keep mitzvot, eat kosher, make brachot, daven, everything looks fine. No connection to Hashem. The wire is not in the outlet. No connection to Hashem. Depression, sadness, fear, worry, stress, panic attack, anxiety attack, sicknesses that you never heard of, one after the other. The soul is sick. The soul is anxious to be connected to where it came from. No food for the soul, no connection to Hashem, all these sicknesses. That's why a lot of the people in this world, especially here in America, they take drugs. Why they take drugs? Why every other American kid takes drugs? What's going on here? The answer is, there's no spirituality in America. No spirituality. Everything is materialism. Everything is cars, everything is sports, everything is nice things, everything is, you know, big, nice, fancy, schmancy. There's no, the soul is dead. Nothing for the soul. Nothing for the soul. So what happened? When a person takes drugs, it eliminates his body. He feels his soul much stronger. He feels high. It's all an illusion. Later he will die. But for X amount of tiny things, wow, I saw the light. This illusion gives them an assimilation of what they should have if they were connected to Hashem. You understand? Here is the thing. The body of a human being is body and soul. The Torah teaching us to raise the soul. Raising the soul, purifying the soul, sanctifying the soul by keeping Torah and mitzvot, learning Torah, praying, etc. By lifting up the soul, the body automatically becomes disabled. Meaning it cannot disturb the soul. It doesn't have the strength. So the soul is rising. So then it's a spiritual person. You feel connection to Hashem, you see the light. Is in lights all the time. Since in America there's no way to lift the soul, they don't have the tools. Even to Jews, they don't have the tools. They don't have any connection, no emunah. They're raised like animals. Just like animals. There's nothing, no spirituality in anywhere. So the soul needs spirituality. But there's no way to lift the soul. There's no tools. So what do? Dismiss the body. Why? By taking drugs. That's what's happening. Running away from the horrible reality. Running away from the bitter life and the suffering. Running away from life without spirituality. It's an illusion. Everything illusion in the end is very costful. In the end you pay a massive price for this. Comes the Torah and say, you don't need all these supplements. You don't need. You be connected to me. You work on your emunah. You work on your modesty. You're not modest, you don't have connection to me because I cannot stand lack of modesty. Finished. You want to dress the way you are, you can forget about me. You will never be connected to me the way you dress. A lady, first thing, connection to Hashem, dress modestly, behave modestly, no cheating, no connections with guys, no touching, fully shomer negia. That's condition number one by the lady. Then it's Shabbat. What? You be mechalel Shabbat, you're like a goy. What connection you want from me? Then kosher food. If you eat non-kosher food, it contaminates the blood spiritually. There's a list of things. Then learning emunah. Learning Torah. It melts the Yetzer Hara. It gives the neshama a boost. Then you feel the connection. I know girls that have very strong connection to Hashem. Every 2 seconds, Baruch Hashem, Shtabach Hashem. I feel it. It's not a show. And I know girls, 18 years she's religious, not 1 hour in her life she was ever connected to Hashem. It's all a show. Nah, she's embarrassed, she doesn't want to be secular. What she's going to do? She's from a religious family. You understand? But she doesn't have connection to Hashem. And sometimes she has a cousin, and she look at her cousin and she say, look at her miserable cousin. Look at me from Bet Yaakov and look at my cousin. Look how she is. Ugh. Imagine if I would be like her. But in reality, you're not a lot better than her. You're not a lot. You may be keeping the mitzvot in a robotic way, but you and her, both of you don't have connection to Hashem. Yes, from the outside, you look religious. You know what it's like? You know, in India, you have these maharajas, that they have these turbans and white beards, and they wear white things. If you wouldn't know it's an Indian idol worshiper, you think it's the brother of the Ben Ishchai, Chas V'Shalom. No? You saw the picture of the brothers, the family of the Ben Ishchai, how they dress? That's how the Indian dress today in India. Iraqis, Indians, there's a lot of similarities there. They both eat amba. You know amba? You know amba or no? The yellow mango with curry powder. They put it together. Okay, you're not from Israel, so you don't know what it is. But the idea is that you look at him, wow, from the outside, he looks very holy. But then he drinks the urine of the cow for breakfast. and worship to the cow, bow down to a cow, such things. Somebody like this can have connection to Hashem? Such a filthy spiritual lifestyle that they have. But the idea is, that's what I'm trying to say, from the outside you can look the Baba Sali, but what about the inside? It's dead, man. No connection to Hashem. How do you know if you have connection to Hashem? If you're anxious to hear Torah all the time, that's a good sign. If they tell you come to Shiur Torah and you feel, oh no, not again, then you know you're not religious. You're dreaming that you are, but you're not. Because a religious person cannot live without Torah, real religious person. You take him away from the Torah. Sometimes you see ladies 6-7 hours a day, they listen to CDs in a house or to the religious radio station that they have Divrei Torah nonstop. She doesn't want to go anywhere because there's good Divrei Torah in the radio. Then you know this woman is really holy. She really has connection to Hashem. That's why her soul absorbed the Torah anxiously. But if she's filthy and impure and the sins that she does are so much, she doesn't feel connection to the Torah. Same thing, guys. Guys that make sins, do you think that it's easy for them to connect to Torah? 10 minutes they sit in a shiur, they go crazy. Why? They have klipot. They don't see the light of the Torah. The Torah says, Sur merava aset tov. Get rid of the bad in order for you to be able to do good. If you don't get rid of the bad, it will be very difficult also to do the good in the right way. One more thing. Married women, they have to keep the laws of the Gemara that her husband for her is a king. When he comes home, the king came home. It doesn't mean that it has to be an abusive king that abused her and put her down and disrespect her. That's not what we're talking here about. We're talking now, first, the wife will do everything she can to respect her husband, everything. To the level of respect that a wife can respect her husband, it's endless how much she can. It got to the point that one religious woman in Israel, her husband wasn't a good person. They had kids, and this husband was cheating on her nonstop. And she found out from people in his office, in his factory, and everyone was telling her to divorce him, and she refused. She still was serving him fully. No protest, no fighting. She said, one day he'll do tshuva and he will come back. This is how much she was willing to tell. I don't say that that's the right thing to do, but I'm just describing how much she was willing to sacrifice for her husband. If a woman comes to the marriage to keep the laws of the Torah, that my husband is a king for me, then their marriage will be good from her end. If the husband comes to the marriage knowing my wife is my king, queen for me, then it's beautiful. She's my queen, I am her king. Beautiful, fantastic. The king respects the queen respects the king. Everyone knows his place. But if it's disrespect, that's what's happening. Disrespect, it breaks the house. So when it comes to this, since most of you here are young, some of the things I say here will apply to you in a year or two or three. You'll get to it. Just a matter of time before you realize you'll be there. For the young ones here that are single, I already sent you the right message. Your parents is your king. You don't have a husband yet. So you don't have your... One day you'll have your own king. Right now your father is your king. He tells you yes is yes, no is no. You want to change his mind? No problem, it's not disrespect. Speak nicely. Abba, please, you know, you have to understand, this is what's going to be. I'm going to be the only one who doesn't have it. He's going to embarrass me. You let him listen. Yes, yes, no, no. Leave something for Hashem. What do you think? What, you want the world? Everything she wants, she has to get. And with the help of the wife. Abba, come on, you have to understand her. It doesn't have to be this way. Well, everything she wants, she has to get. I don't get it. Everything the kids want, they have to get right away? Everything they want? Yes.
But it's the opposite.
The opposite in what way?
The father lets and the mother doesn't.
Doesn't matter. The parent should not fall into that. It's not good to surrender to everything the kids want for their own good. We're not talking about revenge here, or making them miserable, or torturing them. That's not what we're here about. We're not talking here about. No rabbi will give an advice to the parents, torture your kids, it's good. It's not realistic. And no parents wants to torture their kids. We're not talking about sadistic or whatever, arrogant animals that they want to torture their kids. That's not what we're talking here about. We're talking about what's good for them. Good, what's good for them, what's not good for them. You understand? I give you an example. From the Torah, it's very important when you get married to get the blessing of your parents to who you chose. If your parents don't like him, you have a very serious problem here. You're not going to have blessing, that's it. Hashem said, I'm very sorry, you went against your parents. The only time you're allowed to not to listen to your parents is if your parents are racist. If they tell you, don't marry him, he's not one of us. Then you don't have to listen to them. You go to the rabbi, you tell the rabbi, this is what my parents do, let the rabbi do the job. If your parents are racist, that's against the Torah. That's not what Hashem wants. If your parents tells you, we don't want the guy because we don't like how he looks, you don't have to listen to them. It's not going to be their husband. It's going to be your husband. You love how he looks, fine. But if the guy is not good, he uses drugs, smoke drugs, he comes from very bad environment, he's not educated, he's not religious enough, he doesn't have good personality, and your parents tell you, we don't approve him, you must listen to them. This is exactly what Hashem thinks. What do you think? Hashem wants you to marry someone that is not good enough. Just because he tells you, I love you, you're my world, and this and that, it doesn't mean he's going to be good. Right now he's excited. 2-3 months into the marriage, you're going to see the animal comes out. People with experience in life, they see better things than you. You're young, you don't see it yet. If it was up to me, I would make a rule, nobody can get married before 25. Nobody. In America, nobody. In Israel, 21. Here, 25. No one is mature. People like little kindergarten here. Kids here in America, 21 years old, when you speak to them, you wonder if you are with 21 years old or you're with a little kid from kindergarten. With the shtuyot that they like, the shtuyot that they talk about, and then I want to get married. Well, you want to get married. You have to take a pacifier and put it in your mouth and a bottle at night. Who do you think you are? Or do you want to get married? What do you think? To get married is, I love you, I miss you. That's not what marriage is about. Marriage is liabilities. Marriage is paying bills. Marriage is supporting each other. Marriage is sometimes being alone at home. Marriage is a lot of pressure. Marriage is the husband come from work and he's going crazy, things don't work, and you have to be a psychologist. Marriage is financial crisis. Marriage is pregnancies and raising children and running around and driving to shopping. What do you think? Marriage is romance? What are you, in Hollywood? 20 years old, she wants to get married. You mature? You Hasidish? You grew up in Hasidish environment? Maybe you mature. They make their daughter more mature. Not anymore. Used to be. Now in America, everything goes down. If it was up to me, 25, it's still, even 25 is not ready. That's why there's so many divorces. 2-3 months, Abba, it's not, it was a mistake that she do. Fancy wedding, $90,000 flowers, 500 bottles of whiskey, Bukhari and orchestra, Samir and Abdallah from, I don't know, Uzbekistan, express, first class, 2 months, destruction. Why? Nobody used their head. People behave like kindergarten. Look how people behave, man. Get married. Well, get married. Little guy, gambler, smoking drugs, doesn't do anything with his life. What did he do in his life, the guy, that he's going to be a husband yet? People don't understand what marriage is. They don't understand what responsibility, what liabilities. They think, we're together, that's all we care about. It's good for maximum 6 months. What then? Then what? You want to be 20, 21 with 2-3 kids already? Well, what are you going to do then? You're going to be able to run a house, to cook for Shabbat, to cook for the holidays. 15 people wants to come to you. You're going to have to put the things, you're going to have to do the dishes, you have to run to the baby. You didn't even live your life yet, you're a little kid. Just yesterday you learned how to put the shoes on your feet by yourself. Yesterday your parents had to tie your shoelaces. All of a sudden they think, oh, we run the world. This is the problem here. People don't listen, don't listen. You don't listen, you think you know everything. And then later, how many times I told people, and I'm afraid to admit it, but it's 100% the truth. Over the years, everybody I told them not to get married, and they didn't listen to me, they all got divorced. All of them. I don't remember one time I was wrong, unfortunately. I wish I was wrong. I wish I was wrong all the time. What do you think, I want to be right? I want to see a family getting broken? I remember I was sitting in the yeshiva with a guy until 1 o'clock at night on the stairs. Sitting in the stairs, we don't want to wake up the guys that sleeps. Begging him, it's not for you. You don't listen. No, no, I have to. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Later he got married. He had a kid. To the brit of his son, they didn't let him come. The family of the girl. That's how bad it became within a year. And he said, why didn't I listen to you? You have no idea how much I suffer. You have no idea what nightmare my life is. Every night I'm killing myself. Why I didn't listen to you? Why? I had another guy in yeshiva. I told him, this girl is not for you. I'm telling you, it's just, no. What happened? He doesn't tell me anything. All of a sudden, they tell me, you're coming to the engagement? Engagement of who? Your student from your shiur in yeshiva. Without telling me, he's getting engaged. I found out accidentally on the way. What? There's an engagement in Brooklyn. What? You're not coming? Everyone was shocked. Well, I didn't even know about it. Why? Behind my back. 6 weeks later, he was divorced already. 6 weeks later. You don't see what other people would experience. See? Who see more? Someone young like you that doesn't know anything from life yet because you don't have experience, or someone who works with thousands of couples for 21 years, day after day, night after night. Who see the picture more clear? I go to the doctor. Who see the situation of my health better, him or me? For me, a little pain over here, probably infection. That's what I'm thinking. Chas v'shalom, he can find things as a life risk. Who should I rely on my feeling and my understanding, or on the doctor's understanding? Everyone with a specialty. You come to talk about clothing, come to the tailor. You come to talk about medicine, come to the doctor. You want to know the laws of IRS, come to the accountant. You want to know about marriages, come to who? Come to those people that deal with Shalom Bayit. People that knows what's going on in today's world. People that see what all couples are getting divorced for quickly after they get married. And from them, you learn why you are next. You don't want to listen? Fine. Enjoy the 2-3 months. Suffer 2-3 years after. And then we'll see. In Israel, they say something like this. They say what doesn't come through the head, come through the legs. You don't want to hear when I give you an order, the commander say. You learn from your legs. You run all night in the mountains. Next time when we give you an order, you're not going to make a peep. Right away. Yes, sir. Why? You learn. It's enough. Last night you ran all night, you got the point. What doesn't come through the head in a minute will come through the legs in days and nights and weeks and months of suffering. In the head, it will be 2 minutes. You don't want to listen, you don't want to do it your way, go do it the hard way. You have to be very careful. I told you in the first lecture here, right here, we made a few lectures here. If you remember when we spoke about preparation for marriage, that was the second lecture. We spoke about preparation for marriage. I told you what you do right now when you're teenagers, that's what you're going to get. You're going to be connected to Hashem, devoted, modest, honest, respectful, respecting your parents, learning good, loving Hashem, appreciating Hashem, praying to Hashem. You're going to get an angel. You're not going to do none of the above. You're going to get a monster with a nice, charming smile that gives you flower for Shabbat. That's how they blind the women. Well, gives her 12 roses. Wow, what a romantic guy. He always makes sure to open the door for me. That's now. We will see now, a month after the wedding, how he's going to open the door for you and bring you roses. I don't want to tell you where he's going to bring the roses to sometimes. That's what's going on today. That's reality. Ladies, welcome to the world. Welcome to the world. Some of the married women here knows more or less what I'm talking about. I hope not. I hope they don't. But sometimes they know what I'm talking about. The main point is for the young ones here, that they're not going to make the mistakes that almost everybody makes today. Marriage is not a picnic. You have to come prepare for it. To prepare for it takes years. Working on your maturity, on your emunah, on your devotion, learning your role. A woman has to learn her roles in marriage. There's books about it. The man has to learn his role. You just don't come into a partnership in a business when you don't know your job. Today someone called me. He has partners in his business. He was describing to me what's happening in the business. He said to me, you know why the business cannot develop? Because I do my job in a very good way. But my partners, they have no idea what to do. Just they invested money in a business. I had to take them as partners, but I never really learned what they have to do in their department of the business. Not only they never learn, they don't have the skills and the talent to learn. So therefore, the business is doing very well in one hand. Whatever I do, they come and destroy. And I have to pay them for that. You understand? In business, no, you lose money. In life, in marriage, you lose everything. You don't believe me? Please go to family court for one day. Sit there. Sit in family court one day. One day sit there for a few hours. See what's going on. Then you get the point. You want to be ready? Everything in life has its time. Everything has its time. When you're ready, you're going to do it. You're not ready, better not to do. To do it when you're not ready, it's a distraction. To do it when you're ready, it will work. It may work. Still risks. But at least there's a chance that it would work. Any questions before we finish?
No questions.
How do you know when the child is ready?
First of all, every family must have a rabbi that knows them. He has to know the kids. He has to know what they are. If they have questions, they have to feel comfortable to go and ask him questions. And therefore, he will know if this person is mature or not. If the person is mature, you can see it right away. If he's not mature, he behaves like a kid. His decisions are rushed. He doesn't ever think twice. Everything right away, he makes a decision in a minute. Paziz, jump to conclusion. He's not mature. Plus the age. There's a certain age. Do you think that you can get someone married today before 20 in this country? What is the odds that they'll be successful? What are the odds? It's almost no odds. Almost no chance to be successful. Not because they're bad. Maybe if they would wait 2-3 more years, there would be a fantastic shidduch. But you do it ahead of time. It's all about timing in life. Sometimes people open the business when they are not ready. If they would wait another year, by then they will have enough money to succeed in a business. But they rushed, and everything collapsed. You have to be ready. You have to be ready mentally. You have to be ready physically. You have to be ready emotionally. You have to be ready with your intelligence, with your knowledge, with preparation. What do you think? Well, it's just love. Love, love you can have when you're 12, 13. So what, you're going to get married 12, 13? You understand? You don't want to have the life of the Arab girls that they force them to get married today in a world like slaves. They marry them, 12, 13, whatever. They throw them somewhere. They give money to the father. He sells his daughter. I don't want to tell you how much they suffer. You don't want to choose this kind of life on your own. Because later, one day you wake up and say, you know what, I didn't have a childhood. I wasn't really a teenager. Right away, from a child, I turned into a mother. And today's spoiled world, it cannot succeed. Maybe 50 years ago, yes. Today, it doesn't work. You don't believe me? Go and learn the statistic. Go and learn the statistic. Watch also very carefully what comes out of your mouth. Be very careful with Lashon Hara. Don't speak bad about anyone. Watch your mouth. People say something, don't respond. People write on WhatsApp things, don't jump, don't write comments. Don't make bad comments on Facebook. Don't speak to anybody against anyone. Teach yourself to be mute. What do you think about this? I have no opinion. No, come on, you always have opinion. Maybe I have opinion, but it's not the time to say it now. Be diplomatic when it comes to this. Lashon Hara, don't ever speak. You're entitled to think what you think, fine, but don't express it. You're not the sheriff of the world. Everything you have to express. Everything has to be on a bulletin. What is this? You have decision, keep it for yourself. Lashon Hara is also with your mother, with your brother, with your sister. Ah, come on, it's my sister. It's only between us, no one else knows. You're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about anyone. You never know, maybe tomorrow someone would ask your sister about that person and what you told her, she would say to someone something or hint, and the shidduch will fall apart and it's really your fault. And in Shamayim, they judge you because of you. The shidduch that Hashem wanted did not happen. You understand? You have to be careful. Lashon Hara could be a murder. It could be mamash, a horrible murder. And there's no way to fix it. 99.9% of the cases of Lashon Hara, there's no way to fix. Because if a person did not get married to a shidduch because of a few words that you say, even if you give him $1 million compensation, it won't fix the situation. It won't fix the situation. It's a chain reaction. It's the children that should have come to the world, the grandchildren. Who knows how many rabbis would come from this shidduch, and because of you, it's not going to happen. There's no way to fix it. Sometimes a person apologizes already, asks for mechila from the person that he spoke Lashon Hara about it, but the Lashon Hara continue 5 years later to travel in the internet. Even though you already say to the people locally, I made a mistake, whatever I say about him was incorrect, someone fooled me, I say it and it wasn't true, please forgive me, I'm begging you, please accept my apology, okay, I forgive you. But in the meantime, it keep traveling, and the damages comes every day, new damages. He apologized already 3 years ago, but every day the persons continue to get hurt. How are you going to fix it? You understand? Thank you very much. Have a wonderful Shabbat. We'll see you again.